Hello, friends. We are recording here on June 6, 2025, and I think it's important to say the date because everything has context these days. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs here with my dear friend, lifestylist Alina Z. And this is the questions bar where we come together, we raise a glass, a mug, a hand with questions and thoughts and ideas about what is going on, girlfriend. So today, every episode we try and have a theme, and the theme that popped into my mind was coping strategies and also this opportunity to give the universe the chance to give us what our hearts are desiring. So I was telling Alina, hello, Alina, say hello to
Hi, hello, everybody. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we are doing these mostly for each other, for ourselves, to support each other. And we wanted to get anybody who also needs a girlfriend and also needs support to listen in. So we're improvising this. We're just thinking, okay, what is the theme that's occurring for us? What is it we need help with? So if you have any questions, if something is on your mind, please let us know so we can talk about that for you and help you as well, because it's all about building community and supporting each other.
Absolutely. And we're all over social media and increasingly so. Yes. So you can reach out to us through any of these posts or Incandescent Radio. And today we will actually, we'll have posted enough episodes that will be on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio as well. And we are on YouTube on incandescent.tv at tinyurl.com/thequestionsbar. So today, coping strategies. Martha Beck, I'm a Martha Beck Train Life coach. I love her. When I hear her talk, I feel like I think like she does, which, you know, it's like I'm patting myself on the back because she's a genius. But she was just talking about, you know, giving, you know, you have an intention, you go for it, and then you just let go. Right. And she has a more clever way of saying that. And I'll put that in the liner notes when I find it. But this idea that the universe wants to support us, and if we just let it, you know, and I'm starting to see it and like show up in these little tiny ways. Like I've mentioned before that I'm a massage therapist, and I was taking my seated chair massage up. I have a space at this wonderful, bright, gorgeous place called Twist Pilates on DuPont Circle. And it's up two flights. And I'm like, how am I going to get this thing up these stairs, this heavy chair? And just as I was thinking that, a couple showed up to take the Pilates class, and he carried it up the steps for me.
Oh, I love that.
So that to me said, all right, someone's got my back, right?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny you said that because it is so true. And I was talking about that yesterday. I took a drove to San Diego from LA, which is about a 2-hour drive, and I drove with a woman who drove an hour to my house, and then we drove 2 hours to San Diego, and then 2 hours back, and then 1 hour for her. And we're talking about exactly the same thing. How do we cope, and how do we let the universe help us and support us? And, you know, I always think of the bicycle. To me, it's like you have to do your part to the right, and you have to let the universe to the left, and it's perfect balance. And I find that if you look at your own state that you had a minute before that couple showed up, where you like you wanted help and you were open to receiving, that was the state. And then remember the miracle showing up. So looking back at other miracles, what was the state right before the other miracles, and seeing if it was exactly the same state, then trying on that state whenever you need a similar outcome or the universe showing up. And I think everybody has it differently. So everyone has to feel their own state. But the formula is the same. Exactly what you said. You ask for help and you take the action and you are open to receiving. You have to create space for the universe to step in.
Yeah. A friend of mine introduced me to the Gohanzen. You know, this.
What's that?
It's a big deal, actually. But and I'm always amazed when I find people who did it. When I went back to graduate school, I had just learned about it. This was in 2019. And suddenly everyone there in Claremont, California was practicing this. And the prayer is Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And people chant it for hours and hours and hours.
What does it mean?
It's just you're opening yourself up, and chanting is a really powerful vibration to create sound vibrations. And like if you're looking for a parking space, you chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And sometimes it opens up. So it's sort of creating the vibration like you're talking about. But something I wanted to say about bicycles. So I was helped co-found the Grateful American Foundation, and we did a ton of stuff about the first 100 years, from Washington to Lincoln, and what happened, what they were thinking, these presidents and their wives and politics. It was really fascinating. And I went to an opening at the Smithsonian, one of the Smithsonians, about bicycles. And it was fascinating. It was, you have these aha moments. And it turns out that the bicycle changed women's lives. Because suddenly we had transportation, we had clothes that would allow us to, so they took off the corsets, they took off the hoop skirts, they had pants, and they could be in charge of themselves. And that's something that we don't think about. Like, how did we get here, right? To tank tops and yoga pants and pretty dresses from like when we were in bondage.
It is so powerful what you said because it makes me think what else is about to be invented tomorrow, maybe. Let's see. Today is June 6th. What's going to be invented tomorrow? But I always tell people, like, do you remember the day before a miracle happened? Do you remember the day before the big invention? And we all can go into that space of if the miracle could happen before, if an invention like a bicycle could have been invented one day, but it wasn't invented the day before. Then we all have hope that something else will be invented tomorrow. And I know you're a Cancer astrologically, and Jupiter, I've just been meaning to tell you, Jupiter is coming into Cancer. Well, went into Cancer 2 days ago. So for you, that means good luck coming your way for a year of good luck. And I think it started yesterday, actually. Yeah. Because somebody we know who is a Gemini had their luck leaving them yesterday and they started a big girl feud online. So, I don't know, big scoop yesterday. So you're have now the good luck. So who knows what's gonna happen? Who knows what's gonna happen for you tomorrow? And I think for me, this is the I have the coping mechanism for me with anything is twofold. To the right is what can I do? Take action. To the left is remembering that the day before a miracle happened, I didn't know it was a miracle, so believing in that miracle. And I know I love talking about archetypes, and that's the archetype of the innocent, trusting that it will be better and thinking of, Dorothy somewhere over the rainbow, where the dreams come true. That's the innocent archetype. Hope, which is your name, is I think the number one thing. Faith and hope are, like coping mechanisms for me after I take action. Because there's only so much action I can take. We all need miracles. We all need divine inspiration. Oh, a bicycle. Why not invent a bicycle? Like, who just gets an idea all of a sudden? All ideas come to us. And you know what? I just had an idea come to me. Oh my gosh, this is brilliant. Okay, this is really cool. I had an idea. Thomas Edison said that it took him 10,000 tries, 10,000 tries. And he said that you never know how close you are to finishing. And if you give up, you'll never know. And that made me think he had to go the try 900, 9,099. He did not give up on that one, right? And I'm thinking, well, if universe is so powerful, why didn't the universe give him the answer to the light bulb on the first try or the second try or the 10th try? Why did the universe wait that long? And I feel because he had it in him to do the long trek, he had the willpower, and the universe wanted to leave that to us as a lesson that if he can do it, so can I. So can you, because the universe could have given it to him on the first try, and then it would have not been as powerful. It would have been just a man discovers a light bulb on a first try. Oh my God, what amazing. Well, you know what? He can do it, but I can't because, he's Thomas Edison. Here, the story is different. A man tries 10,000 times without giving up. If he can do it, so can I. And maybe it's by divine intervention, by divine order. It was on purpose, and he knew that the answer is there. But in his life, he had to experience failure 10,000 times before he gets the prize. And it comes to, again, knowing it in yourself, like knowing what does it feel for you, for your body, to know to have faith before that miracle comes. And a lot of people think, I have to fight, I have to struggle. Well, that's your journey, that's your story, that's what you came here to experience. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not for everybody. And you just have to know, for you, hope, it was, I have this task, I don't really want to do it, I need help, comes immediately, somebody helps you. So staying in that space, I think, can be the best coping mechanism. Still knowing that if nobody shows up, you'll hold that chair up to fly. Right, but surrendering and being strong enough to release the strength and to allow the help.
Yeah, no, it's super powerful. And, you know, National Treasure is one of my favorite movies because I love the American history stuff. And that's a big theme through it, you know, that Thomas Edison, it took him all those tries to learn how not to invent the incandescent light bulb, right?
Yes, exactly.
So the trial and error and what that means, you know, the path toward success and what is success, but sometimes it is the path, and maybe that's part of the coping strategy.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. But it has to be what it feels right for you. I feel like, especially women, I feel that women, we feel it in our bodies. We have that intuition. We have that sixth sense. We feel it in our gut. And we know that this is just a trial and I have to go through it. Or, you know what, I just have to relax and I don't have to go through anything and things will be delivered to me. Also, you know what my other coping mechanisms are? I like astrology and I like human design. And what you can do is you can go online and search for a human design report for free, then take a PDF and just read through it to see what are your best coping mechanisms. And you will notice, I bet you will notice that what it says, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's me. And it will give you reassurance that your coping mechanism might not be like somebody else's coping mechanism because you have different human design, and that's okay. It's perfectly great, actually. And to me, having this help from above, so to speak, from the stars, because human design is based on astrology, from astrology, all of those things give us tools to cope with things. And for example, for me, coping is to not push. If I push, I will get more resistance. For my human design, coping is getting out of the house and walking around pretty shops. Like, that is my thing. I don't have to buy anything. However, if I move my body and I see pretty things, pretty shiny things, I will get inspired. It will come to me, and then I will get the solution to act and fix whatever needs to be fixed. Somebody else might be something else to do. But my personal one is to not struggle, to drop the rope and just get out of the house and get dressed, wear something pretty, look at pretty things. And you have to find yours and then use that. I think that is probably what I would say for anybody. So knowing, but you don't have to go to human design. You can just ask yourself, hey, Hope, over the last whatever years of my life, what was the best way that I could get myself out of a challenging situation? And then see the pattern and then do it again. Yeah. To get out of it.
Yeah, for me, it's walking. So I say that after I got separated in 2014, I just walked around the world. I literally did. I just walked at least 5,000 steps, and I do it still every day, just so that, you know, because it rebalances your right and left brain, but it also gets me out into nature, which I find really therapeutic, because I live a lot in my head. And it also is a metaphor for you have to walk through it. You know, so I mean, during the pandemic, I was in graduate school and I worked all around Southern California and New Mexico and, you know, those towns that I lived in. I just would make myself part of nature. I would pick up pine cones in California and beach shells, you know, so I have these collections of the moments that help me feel peace as a reminder, which I, you know, it just kind of a comfort to me to figure out how to be in my body and not in my head so much and to heal that way. You know, but everyone has their own tools for sure.
Yeah. It's so good that you know yours, and walking is wonderful. Being in nature is wonderful. Somebody said, you know, the difference between religion and spirituality. Religion believes that the God, you know, God and spirit lives in this place. However, spirituality is like knowing that you're one with everything and being one with nature, because ultimately God created nature, God created
Yeah.
everything around us, and being connected with that is being connected with God. That's where you get ideas.
Yeah, and I was reading an article last night about the 25-3 rule. So,
What's
and
that?
I'll reference it because if you're in nature 20 minutes a 5 days a week, three times, something. I'll reference it. These things come in my psyche, and they. I don't. I can't. It's hard to get them out of my mouth. So throughout this, it's like, oh, I just read about that. As you trigger something, and then in the liner notes, I'll link to it, like the 3.5% rule. How, 3.5% of the population comes together in nonviolent protest, it changes the world, and we're
Yes.
starting to see that. So I'll reference this
Yes.
nature walk thing, and I just met a woman who does forest baths in
Oh.
Virginia. She's in Northern Cal, and I'm hoping that she'll join us. And she's amazing. And there's so many women out there doing these profound things that's what the Empowered Together Network is that we're creating. Just really bringing women together to teach each other to talk about these ideas that they have and have executed and spent their lives doing to know that we're not all alone.
Yeah, yesterday I was at a networking event and it was really nice, but there was this one woman and I just felt her energy was so strong. And every time I think about it, just like I feel it here in my throat. It does not feel good.
Yeah.
That's my plans. I had to go outside and hug a tree to get that energy out of my body. So trees are so powerful, and what you said, the nature bath, forest bathing.
I
It's
love
just when you
that.
go into the forest, it's like, you can just smell that air, and it just triggers something in your brain. You're just, oh my God, it feels so good.
And lately, because it's summer here in DC, and it's like the perfect time in June when it's not too smoggy or like swampy hot. The birds are everywhere and they're singing and they're talking to us. My daughter takes long walks as well. And she was saying, the birds keep talking to me, and it's so much fun
The
to listen
birds,
to
I
what they have
love
to
it.
say. Yes. And, I feel like, I think what you referenced before is this Musk Trump,
Yes,
which is
the
so
girls, the
authentic.
girls.
And we've been waiting for this, right? We've been waiting for this for months, for
Oh
this
my gosh,
chip
yes.
in the armor. And when we finally start hearing the truth about this, what this, just this catastrophe that they're creating. And another thing that's, coping strategies that I've been dealing with. So I wrote about this on incandescentpr.com in my weekly article. My son graduated from Harvard last Thursday,
Yes.
and it was so intense. Just looking at this gorgeous 26-year-old man get this diploma that he has literally worked for his entire life, and being there at Harvard with all these brilliant kids and knowing what it took for him to do his master's thesis, which took him like 2 years to conjure up. And that last 2 months, he didn't sleep, his sister, my daughter Anna, went and helped him, and she took a picture of him. I'm like, oh my God, that boy needs food and a shower and a nap. mommy just showed up. But it was amazing what he did. The most remarkable thing to me was 50% of the students at the Graduate School of Design at Harvard and the architecture program are from Asia, China, and abroad. And so many of these brilliant Asian kids, it's not easy to get into that program, right? So, but they showed up for Dylan like nobody's business. And they stayed up with him, especially this one young man that Anna just said is like, is an angel. And to hear what's going on with China and how they're, deporting these brilliant kids and they're shutting the borders, and it just, and just in general, as, a specialist who has spent, I've spent my life working in education as a communications director for the Fairfax Schools and the communications director for the U.S. Distance Learning Association right now, cutting off education and rewriting it, rewriting history and teaching it to these kids, and just on and on and on. It's so breathtaking that I don't even know how to, I don't even
It's a
know how to process that.
strategy, but it's a strategy. It's totally normal for a Nazi regime to burn the books So it's normal for this regime to do the same. And, it's so funny. I don't know if you heard the chancellor, the new German chancellor, had a meeting with Trump, and Trump said, "Oh yeah," he said, "tomorrow is June 16th is our D-Day." And he goes, "Oh yeah, very sad day for your country." He's like, "No, we'll get rid of the Nazis in our country. It's a great day," kind of thing, And, now they're educated in Germany. Now they're so honest and so giving and so humane. There's more. I think Berlin has the most vegetarian restaurants. And my mom went to Germany. She saw flowers being sold outside and nobody attending to like little kiosks. And it just says, "Here's how much the flowers are, and here's where to put money." And people just leave money and then they leave with flowers. And it's all completely integrity based. So I'm hoping that after the darkest day, there is the dawn, there's light, and it will, evil will be overthrown, and we will be investing in education, we will be paying out teachers. I cannot still understand why the billionaires who have five different yachts who don't go, "Oh my God, I haven't been on my fifth yacht today." Nobody has that need, but teachers who are thinking, "Well, I can't afford lunch, or I cannot afford dinner," like literally, they cannot afford health care. And how is that okay? Oh, while all those billionaires are not at all bothered by it. To me, that's so strange, because wouldn't you want to have maybe two yachts and go, "You know what? I adopted 20 schools this month, and I'm going to adopt 30 next month." And another billionaire goes, "Oh my God, what a loser. I adopted 50, and next week I'm going to do 100." And the other one's like, "I'm going to outdo you guys, and I'm going to do 500 schools in 5 days," or whatever. Like, why don't they compete who provided for the most kids, who paid for the most medicine? Who knows? It's not about people not working. We know they're working hard. Not giving handouts, but giving people money for work that they do. Adopting a school doesn't mean you give handouts to people who don't want to work. Teachers show up. It's, little kids who don't have their lunch, give them free lunch, food, actual food. So anyway, I'm just ranting about that. Because I want to have hope that what you said, they're taking money out of education, they want to deport the kids who are studying, who are working so hard. I'm hoping that that tragic way of doing things will be overcome by even better than we could ever imagine. Just the same way that somebody invented the bicycle.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. It's a competition between the billionaires to see who they can help most from your mouth to God's ears, sister.
Exactly. And the
Awesome.
thing is, it's possible, just like it is possible for somebody to invent a car, just like somebody is possible to invent a cell phone. The day before a cell phone was invented, before somebody had an idea for a cell phone, we didn't have it. Before somebody, that woman in the during the Second World War who invented Wi-Fi, the day before she had the idea of Wi-Fi, we didn't know. So I'm hoping that it's the same way.
I love that.
That's my hope. That's my coping mechanism. Do what I can and always hope for the future, because from what I heard from many scientists, what we think physically creates the molecules of stuff, of things. Before this was invented, it was a thought, and our thoughts create physical reality that we see. So thinking positively and thinking powerfully, and I think we talked about the difference between powerful thinking and positive thinking. Positive thinking is, "I hope it's going to be great," but powerful thinking that, "I hope it's going to be great. And the reason why I'm thinking this right now is because I'm powerfully choosing to feel good here and now, because it could be 50-50. But if I think negatively, I'm going to feel shitty right now, and I don't want that." So I'm powerfully choosing good thoughts. That's why, I want to just clarify that. But that's my coping mechanism. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, tomorrow will never come, but we have to focus on today. And if we're nice today to ourselves, we're nice to other people, we can create a better tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yep. Just for today. But let's make a good one.
Yes. And every day, try to do something. And, yesterday we got horrible service at this restaurant. I don't want to go into it, but it took us forever to get our bill. And then they charged us wrongly. And then they couldn't figure out why they charged us wrong. And we're thinking, you know what? We're not going to get pissed off because maybe we're being prevented from something on the road. Maybe because we're staying here longer, there will be no traffic. And yeah, there was like no traffic, almost no traffic when we were driving back. So thinking about things that are not positive, you can always try to spin them somehow. Not everything, of course.
Yeah, and the bigger picture, like I think that's a lot about what the questions bar is about for me at least, you know, that it's about knowing I'm not alone, that I get to talk to my
Yes.
dear friend on the West Coast, and you're so positive and, you know, just trying to keep grounded and centered and look at the big picture and try and stay positive as possible. You know,
Yes.
and when there's these cracks that show up like this big girlfriend fright that these they're not girlfriends, they're
Yeah.
crazy. You know, that gives me hope that the truth will come out. The truth is coming out. So as we end this, I love to give people some action items, right?
Yes.
So the one thing, an action item that I have on my that I have accomplished this week is I watched the Bletchley Circle, San Francisco. Right. And it was the second season of a 2007 show that was based in England. And it's about these women that were code crackers and during World War II. And this is 12 years later. This is right before the Vietnam War. And it was so startling how the stereotypes and the biases and the arrogance and ignorance toward women and black people and gay people, like it's all shown in that show. And I've been trying to figure out, what is it that this administration is trying to take us back to, this great again nonsense? And it's that, right? It's right back to that. You know, it's Gay Pride weekend here, and they just announced this morning they're shutting down the park in DuPont Circle, where I was supposed to go to do massage in the morning because this Swiss Pilates place is right there. And you know, people aren't can't go because of what might happen, because the city is afraid. And on this June 14th parade nonsense, I talked to, they're shutting down the city basically because it's going to cost a fortune, $100 million, right? So $100 million to have this Nazi parade, and they're not feeding children,
I
right?
know.
It does, none of this makes sense. And so my coping strategy is to like look for the cracks, watch the TV shows or the movies that inspire me to see more and see how these women come together and save the day. So watch that. It's on Netflix, The Bletchley Circle, or it's actually, it's on Prime. It's on Prime. And just, you know, trying to stay positive in the chaos, I think is my biggest coping strategy. So that's my action item for the week. You know, check that show out.
Okay, I'll check it out for sure. My coping strategy is Thomas Edison withstanding the storm of his mistakes and going, I'm going to get through it and just having positive outcome manifest. I'm going to do the same with trying and not trying to like they're trying, practicing to be happy about every failure because the other day I just had anxiety. Like I was sitting in a Zoom call and I just had anxiety. I'm thinking, why? There's anxiety. It was not controllable. It was really strange. And I was just talking to myself. And I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to breathe through it. I'm going to do what I can. And I'm going to continue being positive and switching my mindset. And I did. And I went to the gym. I went to the sauna. I just moved my body, doing those things. So to me, and I wasn't being hard on myself for having that anxiety. Like, well, who are you to have anxiety? You're supposed to be staying positive. I think for me, it's going to be staying positive and finding positive as much as I can and not being hard on myself and not being hard on what's happening and withstanding it. Like we talked about it in one of the episodes, I think, about the movie Wrinkle in Time, where in the end she's like, but I love myself. She's like, I love myself. I love you. I love my brother. Like, I am not going to give up. And that's when the monster couldn't fight anymore. So if we do the same, like, well, I'm just gonna love myself. I'm gonna love all the kind people, the gays, the whoever's, whoever they want us to hate, the black, the Chinese, whoever. I'm just gonna, if they're nice people, I don't like assholes. That's my thing. Those are the only people that I don't like. Even though I know every asshole had a reason to turn it, every villain has the origin story of what they call, right? I'm not at that level yet. My mom is definitely, she's like, but one day they were perfect and we have to love everybody. Not there yet. Okay, I'm getting there. So my point is, I'm just gonna do that. Like that girl was radical self-love and loving her brother, doing the same for our country, doing the same our planet, doing the same for people who are doing good things, doing the same for myself, just keeping that love in and focusing that tomorrow something good might happen if I keep pushing through with that energy.
I love it. Yes, that's a beautiful way to finish this episode, episode 6 of the Questions Bar. And please send us your questions. Let us know if you want to be a guest where we bring you on too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be fun. So we're this is an evolution, a natural, just girlfriends chatting about what's up, and trying to solve it for each other as girlfriends do.
Exactly. All right.
All right,
Till
here,
next
here to
time.
you, Miss Elise. Yes, till next time, L'chaim. And
Lahaim.
we'll see you all soon on the Questions Bar. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs. This is lifestylist Alina Z. So we'll talk to y'all soon. Stay well, stay well, stay well.